If you or someone you love struggles with a gambling addiction, please call 1-800-GAMBLER today. And please, gamble responsibly. Hello, everyone, and welcome into another Celeb Bet Friday edition of Sports Betting by Dummies. I am your host, Patty Parlays, and joining me as always is Diz. Diz, how's it going, buddy?
It's going great. Ready for the weekend. Getting kind of scared here. Don't know what to bet on, but that's what Patty Parlays is here to help me figure out.
You just so happen to be related to possibly the most degenerate gambler of all time. So if you are hurting for picks, I'm your guy.
I don't know what I've done. I started gambling before you, and I've awoken a monster, I guess.
But a good monster, a profitable monster on occasion. We had a quick little talk about this before, and so this is just an interesting topic conversation. And every time I see something like this, it just kind of baffles me. So we're going to talk about it on the podcast. The topic we're going to talk about today is is it fair or should people charge money to get their picks or their wagers? Now, full disclaimer, we will never charge for our picks. You know, we put out this podcast every single Monday, Wednesday, Friday on it, with the exception of vacations and stuff like that. We always give out a ton of free picks. Sometimes they hit, sometimes they don't. Do you ever think there is a situation or a reason that people should be charging for picks?
Yeah, I think it's simply if they win a certain percentage. I mean, like, if someone wins 60% of their bets, I'll pay them money to take their bets. Like, and at some point it'll pay out for you. But, like, it's very rare for someone to consistently win 60% of their bets. So correct. I don't really ever see it as a good option unless someone has proven. And, like, you'll know who that is, but I think that's a rarity to find. Now, on the other side of that, if there's, like, models or spreadsheets or something where you can explain the value and let people make their own picks off of that stuff, that's something that I would like. I know me and one of my roommates now, you know, we really looked into our junior year of college. We looked into, like, making a formula or, like, a spreadsheet and breaking down, like, which factors mattered the most when it came to NFL. And, like, you know, like, home field, obviously, and, like, the temperature of the field and, like, a bunch of factors that always, like, would correlate to wins and losses and, like, how many points and whatnot. And obviously we aren't, like, brilliant, but we gave it a crack and it really helped us. We were never at the point where we could charge people for games, but we got it to a point where we could figure out who should be favorited. And, like, on the off chance that someone was favorited that shouldn't be, we would always hammer that, and most of the time we'd win. So that was really cool. It was never at a point where we could charge people for it. But, like, if someone has a model or if someone has, like, a spreadsheet or something that they're charging for, I think that makes a lot more sense because they let people make the picks based off of that. So I like that a lot more. But granted, like, if someone's winning 65% of the time, I'll pay them money. I don't care.
So you made two very interesting points there. First, the model. I agree 100%. If someone has a model that no one else has, and it's not, like, public knowledge, and it took time and effort to create said model, and the model has a good winning percentage or, you know, whatever the case may be, then, yeah, I agree with you there. Then you may want to pay for the model or the person that's responsible for the model. But kind of like you said, if you have the model and someone is just using the model and giving you their best bet, the best bet according to the model every single week, I don't think I would pay money for that. If you had access to said model and then were able to kind of make your own interpretations or, you know, make your own bets off that model, then yeah, I would consider, you know, paying for that. Cause I messed around with the model for a little while for NBA. It was not good at all, but I too also looked into that at one point.
What's dope about a model is like you can kind of do your own picks with it. Like you take someone's picks, no matter what they got them from, it's like their judgment pulled that pick. If you have like a model or like a spreadsheet or something, you can take that information and bet what you want with it. That's why I would just prefer like paying for that over right. someone's picks.
Well, and with the model, right, it takes away the bias. We all have our biases. We have our teams we like to bet on, teams we like to fade. And so, you know, it kind of takes away that aspect of it. Now, there's still a little bit, like you said, if you have the model and you're picking maybe like the second or third best player or whatever, just because you like that player, yeah, but it takes away a lot of that. And then another thing you said, you know, if someone's hitting 65% of their bets, then, you know, you would pay them for that. But my thing is like, is anyone ever truly transparent of all of the bets that they make?
True. And another red flag is like, why are they charging for picks if they're that profitable gambling?
Exactly. Right. Like, there's just so many red flags there. And people are like, oh, I'm 20-5 in my last 25 bets, you know, I'm plus $3,000. But it's like, you're telling me you're only making, you know, one pick. At night, and it's that that just doesn't make sense.
I mean, there's people that do it, and there's people that like actually win that much. So, like, I don't want to say that doesn't happen, but I think it's rare to find right. that. And like you said, we're very transparent about like our best bet. Bets are not our only bet. We don't win what we want to watch. So yeah, unless like you have a guy you trust or something, or you have a model, I would just stay away from paying someone. The part about gambling is like, the fun part about gambling is like being creative and like making the bets on your own, in my opinion. Like, yeah, like I follow gambling accounts, and if there's a pick I agree with, I'll take it. Mm-hmm. But like, I kind of like digging for a martingale or like picking a no run second inning. Like,
right.
It's more fun to come up with it off the dome, in my opinion.
Yep. Nope. I'm with you. And I definitely got a few like dinger parlays for tonight, and pretty much every single night I bet every single NRSI and, you know, this, that, or the other. But, anyways, we'll move on. NBA playoffs update. Third game of the finals is actually Sunday in Milwaukee. They did play last night. The Suns are leading 2-0. Giannis scored 42 points last night, and they still lost by 10 points. So, Diz, that, you know, this is where we thought the series would be going into game three. So do you see the Bucks pulling this off, or are you just thinking about betting them just purely off value?
Yeah. I'm curious the value. Do you have the Bucks value to win the series right now?
Plus 380.
Dude, 4-1 is nuts, man. And the beautiful thing about this is if they lose game three, like it's over. It's a quick Band-Aid pull. Like, you know, they're not going to come back from 3-0. But if they win game three, it's like, okay, that plus 380 is probably like plus 200. It's like we just cut our odds in half. You know, to get it at plus 380 when it's going to jump to, like, plus 200 if they win game three, that's tasty. That's tasty, in my opinion.
Yep. Another kind of tidbit for you, and this is – I don't know how this makes – okay, never mind. I see it. But maybe you're like me and you think the Bucks don't stand a chance. You can get the series to only go four games at plus 440. Suns in four, baby.
Yeah, so, I love it.
So you could either say, hey, the Bucks are going to pull this off in seven, or, you know, the Suns are going to win it in four. So you can put like a dollar on both of those and be pretty well off.
There's a bunch of value. I love when a playoff series goes to 2-0. I absolutely love it. I love the value that you get.
Yep.
Bucks already beat the Nets when they were down 2-0. Am I wrong there? Is that right?
I believe that is correct.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not out of the ordinary. So much rides on game three, and like I said, if they lose game three, it's a quick peel Band-Aid, keep it moving. Like, you got good value, you lost, it is what it is. So, I'm on board.
Let's go to the ice for the final time this year. It's our final NHL playoff update. Congrats to the Lightning on going back-to-back. And Diz, the mayor, got what she wanted.
That's pretty cool. I wish that video was more viral, though. I didn't.
It was pretty viral. I don't know how you didn't see it.
Well, like, the tweet you sent me only had, like, 400 retweets.
That one was just one I saw from gambling Twitter. Like, that's just...
Okay, literally, but it was bigger than that?
Yes. I mean, okay. Every single show, like, every show on ESPN talked about it. Pat McAfee and his crew talked about it on every show. Like, it was very out there.
Gotcha. No, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. Like, good for the Lightning. I got a buddy who's a Bolts fan, so...
A Bolt.
I mean, I'll never say those words. I'm kind of salty having to face them in the first round of the playoffs. I don't know if the stars are ever going to be aligned like this for the Florida Panthers, but... congrats to the Lightning. And, you know, we keep it moving. I'm really hoping to have a better hockey season next year. Things go back to normal just a little bit. And
but does that mean that the Panthers suck again if it goes back to normal?
I don't think the Panthers suck again. If anything, they get a better draw in the playoffs. The fact that you have to play Lightning in the first round is just tough. And honestly, of all series, other than the Islanders, they played them better than anyone else. So
that's fair.
You never know, but I don't know. Just gambling-wise, I kind of want a stable... I want things to go back to normal. I want overs all day, every day. And I just want to be able – I didn't really follow it from start to finish. So that's probably something I'm going to do next year. But nonetheless, I feel kind of empty.
If we continue to have this show as regularly as we do, we will definitely be diving into the NHL, like, game by game, like, frequently.
Absolutely.
But – you can bet your sweet ass that I put a bet for the Montreal Canadiens to win the cup next year.
Jeez, what were the odds? Why would you do that? What were the odds?
Plus 2,700.
So 27-1?
Yes, sir.
How much you put?
$1.
Okay. I mean, that's some deep value. Can't blame
I honestly...
for value pick.
Yep. And honestly, you know, like I said, I jumped on this Canadiens bandwagon during these playoffs. I have no idea what Carey Price's contract situation looks like. I have no idea how old he is. And the fact of the matter is the Seattle Kraken are coming to the NHL next season, which means there is a expansion draft. And so I could see Carey Price being like Marc-Andre Fleury and just being snatched up by the expansion team.
I need to look into that. I haven't really been a hockey fan since like the Golden Knights joined, so I need to figure out like all the expansion draft roles and see like what Panthers players are available and stuff like that, because that's going to be that might ruin a lot of teams.
It's going to be nuts, and I think I heard this because they talked about it on Pat McAfee's show. I think the rule for goalies is you can keep one goalie for sure, and then every other goalie on your roster is like free for the taking.
Yes.
So like for the Panthers, you know, do you keep Spencer Knight, the white knight in shining armor, or do you go with Bobrovsky, whatever his name is?
It's got to be Knight because Bobrovsky's old. And
you paid him a lot of money, right?
And you got Driedger too, so like, I don't know. Bobrovsky's the one you got to let go. Bobrovsky wouldn't be picked up in an expansion draft though because he's old. So
yeah, but if you're an expansion draft, you just need a good old goalie. But I guess he's not really that good, or he wasn't this past season. But anyways, that expansion draft will be interesting to watch. The Kraken, welcome to the NHL.
Pretty sick logo. Pretty sick jersey.
Yeah, they did a good job. The NHL with their expansion teams, the Vegas Golden Knights were sick. The Seattle Kraken are sick. big fan of what the NHL's doing.
Yep.
The MLB needs to jump on this. They need to.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, now we just need an MLB team in Indianapolis.
Yeah, either expand the MLB or move like the Orioles and the Athletics. Like, let's get some movement going here.
For sure.
But anyways, it is Friday, so let's go to our celeb bets for Celeb Bet Friday. To start us off, we got Miles. Miles gave us a soccer parlay over multiple competitions, okay? So this parlay, he got Italy to win the Euros, win the cup, Brazil to win the Copa America, and then you got USA to win in regular time, Mexico to win in regular time, and Costa Rica to win in regular time in the Gold Cup, I think is what they call it. So if you add all those in together, parlay odds, you get plus 412 on that. So pretty good odds on that. I definitely jumped on it this morning. And Diz Disher is back with another NASCAR celeb bet for us.
Pretty insane that he hit that last week.
I know. And this one too.
What was the value of Chase Elliott last week? I don't remember.
I don't remember either. Yeah, it was definitely plus money. I can guarantee you that. Because everything in NASCAR is at plus money for the winner. I mean, it's kind of like that in golf for the most part, too. Let me see if I can get it real quick. So he got Chase Elliott at plus 240 odds last week.
That's dope.
And then this week he has a plus 260 odds pick for us. He likes Kyle Larson to win the Quaker State 400. So Larson led 268 of 325 laps in the March race here in Atlanta. He loves this track, and he is one of the five best 1.5 mile track racers. The only reason he lost the last race was due to a pit stop strategy. I don't know more about that. It's just what, you know, Disher says. So if that's wrong, then, you know, you can take it out on him. But the Hendricks team has won 8 of the last 10 races. And then Larson's last 10 races, Diz, 4 first place finishes, 4 second place finishes, a 9th and a 16th. So Disher likes Kyle Larson to win the Quaker State 400 at plus 260 odds. And I'm riding with him.
Take that.
And then our final celeb bet is the Podfather. Do you want to take a guess as to what the Podfather is giving us?
I will take a guess, but I don't know if we can trust the Podfather. The man literally bet against Joey Chestnut last week.
but I think he always comes with the heat with abnormal bets.
Esper did come in second, but I think he lost by 36 hot dogs.
I think it was 26, but yeah, definitely got smashed.
Is it on the McGregor fight?
No.
I'm gonna say he took Red's money line tonight.
No. So he went with Trevor Story to win the Home Run Derby in Colorado.
Oh, that's pretty dope.
Some home cooking. He knows the air out there.
That's dope.
When I looked at the odds, they were at plus 1,100. So 11-1 odds is pretty good for being your home stadium, right?
For sure. Are those not the best odds, I'm assuming?
That's the second worst or second best odds.
Second lowest, you're saying? So the second best value?
Yes.
Interesting. I wonder why.
I mean, he's just not hitting very many homers this year, I don't think. But, you know, Shohei is obviously the favorite. But
I honestly hope he wins. He's pretty electric.
I mean, everyone kind of wants him to. Everyone wants Shohei to win the Home Run Derby and then come out the next day and pitch the first inning of the All-Star game and then end up hitting the rest of it.
That would be dope. That would be really dope.
Alrighty, let's review our best bets for Wednesday from Wednesday. I went 2-1, had a bit of a bounce back for me. You know, I've been kind of cold, ice cold with the MLB, but I did have a bit of a bounce back. Went 2-1, and Diz, the one I missed, it was the one in the NHL where we said literally there was one outcome where I was not happy. And sure enough, that's the one that hit.
I hate to see that.
But that's how it goes sometimes. Not any crazier than our boy Javier was last night. He was in a bit of a pickle, and honestly, I gave him terrible advice, but it worked out in the end. So, you know, it is what it is. Diz, how'd your best bets do on Wednesday?
So I went 2-1 with the Reds winning after a horrible loss on Tuesday. Absolutely heinous. Blew like a 4-run lead in the ninth. They won on Wednesday when I betted on them, so I got that dub. My NRSI parlay hit, which was huge value. And then my only loss was Lightning -1.5, which you gave me, which I'm not upset about. I'm not upset about because I was watching Ted Lasso, and he has a quote in there. There's something worse than being sad. And it's being alone and being sad. So the fact that we had that together made us both feel a little bit better when the Lightning won by one. So 2-1, good bounce back after being down bad. So we're feeling good. We're getting some energy back.
Love it. Absolutely love it. And yeah, sorry about that one. If I literally would have told you either of my other two picks, then you would have went 3-0. So,
sorry. But
it is what it is. All right, let's get into our best bets of the night. Diz, I got three in the MLB for you, of course, because there's no NHL. NHL's done. Playoffs, you get one every 2 or 3 days. So we're going to the diamond tonight for my three best bets. First one, we're going White Sox, Orioles, first five, over 5.5 runs combined. So the Orioles, and I think this is one of like the better unknown stats about the Orioles, and it keeps popping up frequently, and that's why I keep betting these Orioles overs. But the Orioles are actually the second best team in the league against left-handed pitching, even though they have one of the worst records in baseball. So Orioles being the second best against lefties, obviously the White Sox are pitching a lefty. And then the White Sox are actually the sixth best in the league against righties, and the Orioles are pitching a right-handed pitcher. Lopez for the Orioles has a 6.02 ERA with a 5.3 expected. And then Keuchel for the White Sox has a 4.48 ERA, but a 5.69 expected. So I'm expecting a lot of runs, no spider tack out here. Give me the first five over 5.5 runs for the White Sox and Orioles. The next one, Diz, I'm going the opposite direction here. I'm going Cincinnati and Milwaukee first five under 4.5 runs. Yeah, I know. Maybe some spider tack in this one would be nice, but I'm not holding my breath. But listen, I got my typical stats here for you, Diz, and then I saw something on Twitter that just blew me away. So I will get you that here in a second. Both teams tonight are pitching lefties. Reds are 27th in the league in hitting lefties. The Brewers are actually worse than that. The Brewers are 30th in the league against hitting lefties. Lauer is pitching for the Brewers. He has a 4.11 ERA with a 4.25 expected. So not good, not bad, pretty average. Wade Miley for the Reds has a 3.06 ERA with a 3.59 expected. I am loving the under here because neither team can hit, and both of these pitchers can be really, really good. Now, here's this stat I was telling you about, Diz. So the guy on Twitter that tweeted this out, his name was Ralph Michaels. So shout out, Ralph. When the Reds are matched up against a competitive foe, and what that means is the money line for the game for both teams is between plus or minus 150, okay? So you're not getting better or worse odds than 150 on either side for either team. The Reds have hit the under in 11 straight games.
What?
So
that's wild.
Yeah, that just like added to it. Now, granted, that is full game, but I'm thinking, all right, I'll trust the Reds starting pitcher over the Reds bullpen. So I think this one's a slam dunk. I'm going Reds, Brewers, first five, under 4.5 total runs.
Numbers line up, but it scares me for my best bet. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, maybe a little a tease there. Maybe going a little bit of head-to-head action.
Tease before you please.
Yes, sir. All right, Diz. Now, this final one, this one was also wild to me, and I don't know if like the bookmakers are just going crazy because of without the spider tack and everything's like going haywire, but I'm going Angels money line versus the Mariners tonight. Full game money line versus the Mariners. And to me, this line just seemed completely wrong, and I'll tell you why. Cobb is pitching for the Angels. He has a 4.6 ERA with a 3.82 expected. Marco Gonzalez is pitching for the Mariners. He has a 5.82 ERA with a 8.5 expected ERA. Then the Angels are seventh in the league in hitting left-handed pitchers, and the Mariners are last in the league in hitting right-handed pitchers. What odds, Diz, do you think I got on the Angels money line?
You're taking the Angels, right?
Yeah. Take a guess as to what the value is for the Angels money line.
Who's at home?
The Mariners, I think. I don't actually know that.
Maybe plus 180.
No, you were wildly off. So to give you kind of a... So the Mariners are at home. And so, for example, the Padres versus the Rockies tonight, the Padres line is minus 216 for the Padres. Dodgers versus Diamondbacks, Dodgers are getting minus 280. I would expect, based off of that, the Angels' money line to be at like minus 200. I got the Angels tonight at minus 126.
Pretty good.
But and if you go off expected ERAs, the Angels starting pitcher has a 5-run expected ERA better than the Mariners starting pitcher, and the Angels are a significantly better hitting team. So sign me up for that any day of the week. I'm taking the Angels money line. All right, Diz, what do you got for your best bets for tonight?
I got one, Martin is a martingale, and I know I have two open martingales, so we are going with a $10 bet because we both lost both of those two. So it's a $10 wager on martingale A for Diamondbacks, Dodgers, no run first inning, went from minus 110 to plus 110, riding that out, getting back on the martingale train, and then I have the Reds money line. Because I'm going to be watching this game tonight. I just think it's insane that the Reds are 45-41 with the worst bullpen ERA in the Major League Baseball. The game last night, the Reds blew a lead. Literally, I don't know how many of our games that we've lost have been blown by the bullpen, but it has to be half or more than half. So my thought was Reds are going to come out hot, score a lot of runs early, which kind of contradicts your theory, but I'm hoping that we get a big enough lead that we can hold it off.
Diz, how many times do I have to tell you, especially with the Reds, you just need to take the first five, bro. You got to stop taking these full games. That's how you get burnt.
No way, dude. No way, dude. The Reds were on a strand. They've won 6 of 8, but if you take out this last game, they've won 6 of 7, and their 6 wins were all come from behind wins. So we bat like crazy in the last couple innings. It's just our bullpen sucks that bad. So I don't know what our record would have been in those last 7 first five, but we were 6-1 overall, And all six of those we were losing at some point in the game. So I don't like the first five value with the res.
I mean, that's fair. But again, since the spider attacks happened, everything's been all wacky. But I like it. And there is a formula or a chance that we can both hit. You know, if you're going with your logic, right? The reds bats kind of hit a little bit later, like they have been. Then if it's like 0-0, 1-0, 2-0 going into the fifth or going into the sixth inning, and then the Reds put on five, you know, then we're in business.
True.
All righty, Diz. Hail Mary parlay of the day. Time to wrap up this week. So I probably blindly and selfishly really like this one today. Do you want to take a guess at how much this is paying out?
Over a G.
You are correct by 6 cents.
1,006 cents.
It is $1 to win exactly $1,006. So that right away gets me pretty excited because it was almost exactly at a G. Even you guessed it right over the G. I'm feeling good about this, and I'm going with a lot more overs, you know, to get the spider attack involved instead of the unders. Of course, I still have an under or two because Patty Unders over here loves his unders, but I'm going with a lot more overs tonight. So these are all in the MLB. So we got White Sox, Orioles, first five, over 5.5 runs. We're going Braves, Marlins, first five, under 3.5 runs. Royals, Indians, first five, over 5.5. Blue Jays, Moneyline versus the Rays. Athletics and Rangers, first five, over 5.5. Reds and Brewers, first five, under 4.5. Tigers, Twins, first five, over 5.5 runs. Angels, Moneyline versus the Mariners. Padres minus 1.5 versus the Rockies, and Dodgers minus 1.5 versus the Diamondbacks.
Thick boy.
You might want to ride with me on this one tonight, Diz. I'm just telling you right now. I'm putting it out in the atmosphere.
I don't know if I have 30 minutes to put that together.
That's fair. But I'm just saying.
How long do you take putting together a Hail Mary parlay? Does it legit take you like 15 minutes?
Well, do you mean by just putting it in the app, or do you mean by like doing the research for it?
About both. Like, if you gave me a list of picks, it would take me 10 minutes just to put them in the app.
Correct. There, it does take some time to pick and choose and get that going. Now, researching it, I mean, sometimes researching for the Hail Mary parlay gets into like the hour range. I mean, a good quick Hail Mary parlay probably takes me 30 minutes to research, because the betting that you see me give, or like the background information I give you on my best bets of the night, I'm looking for that information on every single game. So it's not just like a willy-nilly like pick a few teams here or there. Like, I'm actually doing the research on this Hail Mary parlay. So, you know, it does take some time. It's not something quick and easy, but I took all the hard work out of it for you, though, Diz. You just have to go in and put the bets in.
Do any of these games start before 6:30?
No.
Maybe I'll ride with you, Patty.
I specifically tonight made sure there is a game going on right now, Cardinals-Cubs, and of course the Cubs are winning. The Cardinals are down bad. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. I mean, so are the Cubs, and I thought maybe we'd get a chance to kind of right the ship here a little bit, but the Cardinals have just been horrible. Is there anything you need to get off your chest before going into this weekend?
I would just say we're entering a sad time in gambling. Grand Slams of tennis are over. Not that anyone else betted on those except for me, but that's sad for me. The NHL is over. The NBA is about to be over. We got a sad about month and a half before the NFL starts. But with that being said, it's always darkest before the dawn. NFL, is my favorite thing to gamble on. I think it's probably Patties too. Am I wrong there?
The NFL?
Yeah.
I do like betting the NFL, but I really like betting college football. Now, that's honestly recency bias. I had a lot of success in this past season betting NCAA football. But I'm kind of feeling baseball.
Gotcha. Well, I'm just saying, we got a little month. We'll try to get creative with the topics. I'll try to find some stuff to bet on. But with that being said, pretty juiced for football season. Scott Hansen just re-signed with NFL Red Zone. So
that
gets me juiced.
Yep.
Yeah, this is like a it's always darkest before the dawn message. NFL football is going to be electric. This podcast might go to a whole nother level.
I would hope so. And maybe we can get some more guests on, you know. Maybe we start reaching out to some other people, some guests, and see if we can't get some variety on here.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it may be a month and a half, 2 months of just purely betting baseball. And one of the topics we might do is I might give you a deep dive into how I get my stats and my numbers for every single game. You know, we will help you get through this month and a half.
Oh, shit. I forgot about the Olympics. That's huge.
The spectatorless Olympics.
That's huge. Wow.
You're going to become our Olympic guy, Diz? You're going to do deep dives in the Olympics?
I mean, I'll probably lose all of my money, but at least it's something to watch and something to bet on.
True.
Timing's perfect.
Yeah.
What's it like? It's like late end of July to like mid-August or something?
Yeah, I think so.
That's perfect.
It's not very long. It's only like a few weeks, but yeah.
That's dope.
So be on the lookout for that. We'll have some Olympic stuff for you.
Is there...
But thank you all for listening again. We love you guys. We appreciate you riding with us. If you ever want us to talk about something, you want us to bet on something, you know, just let us know. You can contact us personally. If you know us personally, you can hit us up on Twitter at SportsBetByDumb. Hopefully everyone has a nice, safe, kind of rejuvenating weekend, a profitable weekend. And we will see you all on Friday or Monday. Jeez.